Lada de Lord, for me I am so Lada de Lord, for me I if it had not been for Jesus, oh where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. If it had not been for Jesus, then where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Lord brought me out.
Amen.
I've been happy since the Lord brought me out. If it had not been for Jesus, then where would I be? I'm so happy since the Lord brought me out. I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. If it had not been for Jesus, oh where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. I've been shouting since the Lord brought me out.
Hallelujah!
I've been shouting since the Lord.
Amen! Hallelujah!
If it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? Oh, I'm just shouting since the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out.
I'm so glad.
I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out.
Oh, I'm glad.
If it had not been,
if it has not been,
oh, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord. Since the Lord
brought me out,
I've been singing. Amen. I've been singing since the Lord brought me out.
Hallelujah!
If it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? I've been singing since the Lord brought me out.
Oh,
I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out.
I'm so glad, so glad, so glad.
I'm so glad. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. I'm so glad that the Lord brought you out.
Aren't you glad?
Aren't you glad that the Lord brought you out?
Aren't you glad?
If it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? Aren't you glad that the Lord?
Yes,
I'm so glad.
Oh,
I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out.
Amen.
I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out.
Oh,
if it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord.
That is a perfect song tonight. It's going perfectly with the scripture that you're going to read. Let's open our Bible to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. We are all so glad that the Lord brought us out. Ephesians chapter 2, from verse 1 up to 5. And you had he quickened, who were dead in trespass and sin, wherein at time past ye walked according to the course of this world, and according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, and even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, and even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Let us all pray together. Seigneur notre Dieu, encore une fois de plus, nous te disons merci par ton amour, ta grâce, ta miséricorde et ta beauté, car toi tu es le même, hier, aujourd'hui et pour toujours, cette semaine, Seigneur Jésus-Christ.
Nous savons que toi tu as un Dieu qui répond à nos prières, un Dieu qui pourvoit aux besoins de tes enfants. Pourvoit encore une fois de plus, remplis-nous de ton esprit, de nom puissant, ton Fils Jésus-Christ.
Dear Lord Jesus Christ, once again, we come with our hearts burning of joy to sing the song of praise for thee, because we know that you were only the one that was worthy to open the book and, Father, to save our life. We thank you, as the song says, you brought us out of death, Father, and you have given us life, Father. What a privilege it is, Father, to know you, because to know you is life, Father. And we want to know in the power of the resurrection, that is your desire, that why you come like a man to save us, Father, and to give us the life eternal, Father. We thank you, because there's no one in ourselves that could save other, Father. It's no one of our work could be able to save us, because we know that the Lamb was shed his blood before the foundation of the world, that sinners like us, Father, we could have life. We thank you for that great privilege, Father. Your presence among us means more than anything else. That's why we invite you, that you, the unseen guest, you shall come among us and quicken all our heart, Father, and our ears, Father, our lips, that we shall be able to get something from thee. Father, we thank you for the testimony that was made. We know that you are an answering God. You are God that answers our prayer, Father. And we know that each time when we make our prayer, it is stored somewhere, Father. And one day when you open the book, Father, you see everything that was made, and you answer according to the desire of each of us heart, Father. You shed your blood that we should be free from sin and free from sickness, Father, and free from all the burden that we bear, Father, because we can't bear them ourselves. You are the burden bearer, that what we come with all our burden before thee, that you should take it from us, Father, and give us peace and give us joy of thy salvation, Father. Refill us with thy Holy Spirit. Bless this weekend service, the communion service, Father, that we should be able to partake it, Father. Let nothing shall hinder us to take part of that, Father, because we know that if we come here tonight, it's because of that work that was done 2,000 years ago, Father. And we trust in that work that was made in Calvary, Father, that as you say yourself, that everything was finished, it was really finished, Father. And we trust in that one. We want also to remember our brethren and sisters that are not able to make it tonight, that you should be with them, Father. We want also to remember our brother, Brother David, Father, that you should quicken the healing, Father, that you should grant him the full recovery in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless also the pastor and bless his wife, bless his family, Father, and bless the children, and bless Brother George Mountain, Father, as he's going back, Father, that you depart with him, Father. We want a special blessing upon his life, that you should renew his strength, Father, that you should use him mightily for your kingdom's sake, Father. We commit everything at thy hand. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may have a seat. I think it's a great privilege to be here tonight. Now, from the scripture we read in the book of Ephesians, it's a very good scripture. It's exactly perfect the way we sing, that he brought us out of death. Now, you are so glad, and I'm so glad, because this weekend is a communion service, and all of us, we're supposed to be happy. Because if you look at the scripture, the way the scripture is laid here, it says in verse 5, even when we were dead in sin, has he quickened us together with Christ. Now, the word quicken, what does it mean? Made alive. That you that were dead, and he made you alive. He restored you back to life. Now, we know that the word dead, it means separation. Now, separation, he is speaking. All of us here, we can say, me, I'm not dead, me, I'm alive. But we're speaking spiritually speaking. Because we know that even physically speaking, when someone passed away, when someone died, it's a separation. It brings sadness in the life of the people. The relatives, the people that you know, your friend, they will not feel comfortable. Because when you pass away, they say there's a separation now from us and our brother, from us and our sister. There's something has happened. When that things happen, it brings tears. It brings sorrow inside of the heart of the people. Because the person that was dear to you, and he's died now. It's created something inside of you that you would feel that, no, my son, my mom, my father is passed away. It's something that you can't explain. You must go through it. When someone is separated from you, that was dear to you, it brings tear inside of your life. It brings sorrow. It brings something, sadness, that you can't explain it. Now, but here we find that even in normal life that you are living, if even a millionaire, someone that has a lot of money, that is died, and they want to bring him into life, there'll be nothing more precious than that. Everybody, people of this life, everything that they are doing, fighting age, they don't want to become old and all these things, because they know somewhere there's death waiting for you, and there's death that waiting for me. In physically speaking. Now, every effort of the human being and to see how they can live longer in this life. They don't want to separate from their riches. They don't want to separate from their family members. They don't want to separate from their leisure life and everything that they have. They don't want to separate from it. But we know, each of us, if we still alive, if the Lord didn't yet come, we will go through the way of death. Now we see that this death, it's something that everybody will like to escape. It's something that everybody, if it's a given chance that you could escape it, you will say that I will wish I should not die. Especially people of this life that has money, that has a mansion, they have a castle. They would like to live in those castles and mansion forever. But they have no choice. But if someone died now, and they want to bring that person from death to life, there's nothing more greater than that one, to life of someone, physically speaking. There's nothing greater that someone is dying in the bed of the hospital, and you want to tell the person that you will live again, and come from life, from death to life, the way we saw with our friend Lazarus. It's something that's greater. It's something that stops the tears of the people, because something greater happened to the life. It's a restoration. It's something that came again to life. Something that was existing before now. They brought it back to life. There's nothing greater than that. If you and I, if we're given chance that one of our dear family member, that they could brought them to life, there will be nothing more greater than that in this life. But the prophet said there's something more greater, spiritually speaking. When someone is dead, spiritually speaking, it's more horrible than physically. Because if you are died, spiritually speaking, and you separate yourself completely from God, there's no way back that you can meet with God. It's something horrible than a physical death. Because the scripture even itself tells us, Jesus said, don't fear the one that can destroy this body, but fear the one who can destroy the body and the soul. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that has the power to destroy the body and the soul. But if someone destroys this body and the soul is alive, I have no fear, because I know that the life doesn't end here. Even the Lord Jesus Christ tell his disciple that your heart should not trouble. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Because I know that even I depart from this earthly tabernacle, there's another one that is waiting for me. What is a matter for me is the spirit, that I should have the spirit of God inside of my life. I will make sure that I'm alive. If I'm alive, then I'm very happy. But the scripture tells us that Jesus Christ made us alive. He quickened us. He made us alive. And if you see that, according to the scripture, if you open your Bible to Romans chapter 6, because we know that the scripture tells us that the wages of sin is death. And also the scripture shows us in Ephesians that you and I, by nature, we are the children of wrath, the children of death. We are born of a woman. We're supposed to die completely and separate from God for eternal. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, the wages of sin is death. Now, the scripture tells us that all man that's born of woman is a sinner. There's nobody, Pope, whoever he is, the queens, everybody that's born of a woman is a sinner. And there's nobody that was born another way except from the way that the Lord made, that every man and woman has to come through woman. That the way that God has ordained. Now, by nature, when we are born into this world, we are counted as a sinner. There's no other way you can say me, I never steal before. Because the scripture is perfect. God can't lie. When the scripture says that every man, every woman that's born of a woman is a sinner, and all of us, we are guilty, we are sinners. There's nobody who can lift the finger and say, me, I'm okay. I'm better than the other. Because the scripture, when you say the liar, the scripture can't lie. Which it means that all of us now, we were separated from God. There's nobody was have access to go and meet with God. And it started from Eden. When Adam fell, everything fell together with Adam. And everything fell together. The creation and everything fell together. Now, the reason it happened that way, because Adam ate it from the wrong source. He ate it from the wrong tree. There was a tree that God provided for Adam and his wife to eat. Once they eat of that tree of life, they will continually live. They will have eternal life. There was no separation between them and God. But from the moment they eat from the wrong tree, that's what it caused death. It's the same thing even today. It doesn't change. When we move from God provided way, the way of life that we're supposed to eat from, and we start eating from the wrong tree, that's where we bring death, spiritually speaking, to our life. If we put our eyes, if we put our ears in the message of the hour, in the Bible, there will be no separation between you and God. There will be no separation between me and God. By the moment we separate from God, by the moment that we find that is a gap between us and God, it means that we eat from the wrong source. Because as long as we are eating from the Bible, as long as we are eating from the message, there's no separation between us and God. All of us, we can witness. We've been long time in the message. We've been Christian for a long time. As long as we put our eyes in the things of God, we read the message of the hour. We listen the message of the hour. We read the Bible. We listen the audio Bible. It will never bring death inside of our life. Spiritually speaking, it will never bring separation between us and God. By the moment we are separate, there is a separation between us and God. When we put our eyes in the newspaper, when we put our eyes in the things that we should not put, when we put our eyes in the website where we should supposed not to go, when we watch the things that we should not watch, that's why it created now separation between us and God. That's what created the separation between us and God. But if you keep your eyes in the Bible and feeding from it and singing the song of Zion, you will not have trouble at all. But by the moment we start listening the worldly music, that's where we get into trouble. That's where the trouble starts inside of our life, because we eat from the wrong source. If we eat in the right source, there will be no trouble in our life. There will be no trouble at all. That we see that this lesson from Eden, it can teach you and it can teach us. To begin, Adam, he was made in the image of God. He was a God's son. And he was a small God on earth. That is what he was. And you and I, the same things. We were made in the image of God. And what separate, what broke the communion from us and God? It's something must happen when we eat from the wrong source, from the wrong tree. That's where the trouble starts now. When we take our eyes, inside of putting our eyes in the Bible now, we put our eyes somewhere else. That's where the trouble starts inside of our life. If we take our eyes, the same eyes that God gives us, that we should read the Bible, that we should read the message, that we should do the things of God. If we put it in the wrong place, you die. That's why you must make sure that you feed yourself enough in the right source. You feed yourself enough from the tree of life, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, the message of the hour. But if you feed yourself from the wrong source, you get in trouble. You find there's no power anymore in your prayer life. You can't pray 10 minutes anymore. Why? The problem, why, what's the cause? The cause is because you eat from the wrong source. The cause why Adam is hiding himself. Why Adam is running? Because he eat from the wrong source. He touch where God forbid him to not to touch. That the trouble of our life, that each time when the trouble come to our life, we must examine where we are eating first. Where come our threat? Why these things happen to my life? Why this trouble? Why there's no reality of the things of God anymore in my life? Why the kingdom of God has no influence anymore inside of my life? It must be something, because the kingdom of God supposed to influence your life and my life. Now, when it's not influencing our life anymore, something happened. And what happened, it never come from God. Because God, when he placed Adam and Eve there, that they could live and eat everything that they be doing from the tree of life, that which is Jesus Christ. But by the moment they eat in the wrong side, the trouble come now. But we thank God, because the scripture tell us that God who is rich in mercy. Now that is a great thing. God who is rich in mercy. Now the prophet say that in the spoken word, God that is rich in mercy. He say, I am glad that he's rich. He has everything that we need. But I'm more glad because he's rich in mercy. Now God that is rich in mercy, that's why God produced an innocent to die for the guilty one. That the mercy of God can be shown. It can be proven that the Calvary was there. That you and I could go there. But the innocent went to Calvary. The innocent went there to die for you and I, the sinners. Because the scripture says the wages of sin is death. And you and I, we're supposed to die. We're supposed to be completely separated from God. But God made a way of escape. And the scripture says that we were before. Now listen, it's very good. In verse 2, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, and said, wherein in time past ye walk according to the course of this world, according to the priest of the power of the air, and the spirit that now walks in the children of disobedience. Now, because of the innocent that was died for you and I, it changed our life. It changed us. It made us alive. It quickened us. It brings something changed now. Now, these things here, Paul is speaking with someone that has experienced now the new birth. Because the walk that he used to walk before, it changed now. The desire that he used, the things that he used to desire before, it changed it. Something has happened. Because the power of the Lord Jesus, the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, has the power of transformation, has the power to change the inside the desire of man and the woman. And it never loses its power. If you read Romans chapter 8, let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 8, the scripture tells us now, inside of the wages of sin come upon us now. It come upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now as we go, you will understand how important the Lord Jesus Christ is inside of our life. It's so important that the work he did, that you and I, all the our suffering, everything that we can go through, we can't measure with it. And it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, you see, but in chapter 6, it says, the wages of sin is death. But now we are no condemnation anymore to those who are in Christ, to those who walked not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Because those who are in Christ, they don't walk anymore after the flesh. They walk after the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord leads them. And the scripture says in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made them free from the law of sin and death. It had made you free, and it has made me free from the law of sin and death. And the scripture says, by grace, you and I are saved. Now, how are we saved? God that is rich in mercy. God that is rich in mercy. His mercy was projected to your life and to my life. God that is not only rich in gold, but rich in mercy. Because I would like a God that is rich in mercy, as the prophet says. Because his mercy, when it is shown into your life, that you supposed to be guilty, I supposed to be guilty, but we were made free. And he has provided something for you and I. Now the scripture even tells us that in Revelation chapter 5, you can read it in your own, that now the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. God has made a way for you and I to come to life before the foundation of the world. Now God knew that something gonna happen, but let me make a provision before even the things could happen. Before even the things could happen, God already made a provision. And the prophet said that for you to have the life of God, for you to receive Christ, you must be in God before. You can't be able to receive him now if you never originated with God before. If you never been an attribute of God, no matter who gonna preach the gospel, you will not accept it. You can only accept it when you were there before. If you had never been there before, you can't accept it. Because the Lamb even came to save those who were in the book of life. The book of the Lamb life before the foundation of the world. God knew you and knew me. Because he bring us back to life. He quickened us. He made us alive. Which it means somehow we were in that condition before. We were alive before. That God brought us back there. Because remember, restoration is that you bring something back to life. Something that was existing before. Not creating a new things. And you and I exist before in God before we come to this form of body that you and I that we are. We were before in God's mind. We were before the attribute of God before we could come to this form that we are today. That's why God made a provision for you. And he made a provision for me that when the fall will be now, there was a lamb already slain before the foundation of the world. Now we know that according to the law of redemption now, because speaking about these things of Christ bringing you out is speaking about the redemption. Because it brings you out of slavery. It brings you out of the condition that you were slave of sin. Now he brought you out of that condition. How can you do it? You must be qualified to do it. That's the condition that he made us alive. Because we were slave of sin. And he made us alive. Because Jesus himself, he told the people that he was speaking to him, were telling him about Abraham in John chapter 8 verse 32. He told them that now, who can make you shall know the truth, and the truth shall send you, shall set you free. And that truth is the word of God, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Is the only one that can set you free, is the only one that can set me free. Now, for you to be made free, it means that you are a slave somewhere. If you are not bound somewhere, you don't need to be free. If you are not in a prison, you can only make someone that was in a prison free.
If you had never been in the prison, how can we make you free? Now, for the word free to be applied in your life and in my life, we must admit that we were slaves somewhere. Because that's what the scripture teaches us. Now, for us to apply the word free, that I was made free, for us to apply that word, it means that we accept also that we were slaves somewhere. That's why the scripture says that that used to walk according to the flesh, like the children of the rebellion. But God has provided a way of redemption for you and I, and that way, it was through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was the blood of God himself. That was the price that could meet the requirement. Because the scripture tells us that nobody was found worthy to open the book, even to look at it. The book of redemption. The book that Adam lost. The eternal life. There was nobody that was able to look at it. But we want to see, to bring these things to the communion service, that you could think about it. What Christ went through. And all the suffering, everything that he went, it wasn't because of himself. It was because of you and I. And we will understand also that the Roman, they played just their part to fulfill the scripture. But the really person that he sent him to the cross, it's you and I. That is you and I that sent the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross. It's not the Roman. The Roman, they just fulfilled their part. But the really one who sent him to the cross, it's you and I. It's because of your sin, and it was because of my sin. If it wasn't because of the sin's sake, he has no need to go to the cross. He has no need to be hung there. The reason he went there and hung it nickel, that even the Son was ashamed to sign, to see the Master, the Creator of the universe, to be hung naked at the cross. What was it? It was because of you and because of my sin. The Romans, they just played their part. If you think about it, they just say we crucify him. But what was the cause of the crucifixion? Because any innocent must die for the guilty. That was the reason. Christ has to die because there's a penalty of death now. You and I, we have to be separate eternally from God. And there was no way back now. And God wants to make a way that we could go back to him. And the only way that we could go back to him, that you and I could be brought out of the slavery, out of the condition of sin, that the only way is that a redeemer must come. A kinsman must step down to save you and I. And the law, the prophets tell us that according to the law of Leviticus, for someone to be a kinsman redeemer, he must be related to you. Now we see that the prophet explained and the message teaches that we were not related to angels. We have no relation with the angels. But we were related to God. God was our kinsman now. But God being the spirit, that great spirit, the Elohim, he can't die. The spirit can't die now. God must now make a form, must now make a body that he can shed his blood to save you and I. And the prophet said the first things for the redemption, for the first thing for the law of the redemption now, someone must be upright. He must be related to you. And he must be without sin. And he must be willing to pay the price. And he must have enough money to pay the price, enough riches to pay the price. But the price of sin was so great that when John wept, when he looked at the book, and nobody was able even to touch it. Nobody even was able even to look at it. Even the prophet of our time could not even look at the book. Even the prophet of our time, how great the prophet was, he could not even touch the book if the lamb were not slain before the foundation of the world. It has to be the lamb to open the book. And the prophet, even in the seal, he says, you remember when I was praying there in the cave, and he come and opened the seal for me. Because you need the lamb to open it for you. And there's nobody that was found worthy in this earth
And under the earth, there was nobody that was found worthy. It has to be the Lord Jesus Christ. God has to take the form of man to save you and I. And that he alone was worthy to do it now. That why did God has to do all these things? It means that you and I, in the sight of God, we are somebody. We are someone in the sight of God. Because if God has to come down in the spoken word, the unveiling of God, the prophet explained something, the mighty God unveiled before us, sorry. The prophet explained something very good. He said he was reading a script, a story of a certain great man that has a great plantation. And he has a lot of things. He has many people that was working for him. And the man now, he always in the office. And he has people that was working for him. But one day, it seemed like to the people that was working for him, that the man, the boss, he make a stupid mistake. They find the boss now. He started putting off his garment of the boss aside. And started dressing himself like a worker that work in the field. And the people says, boss, what are you doing? We don't want you to move here. He say, no. What are you doing, boss? Why do you putting this garment? It's not for you. Did you lose your mind? The boss no. I didn't lose my mind. I want to go there to see those woodcutter and to feel how they are feeling and to see how they are suffering for me to understand them better, for me to know a good way of dealing with them. I must go there and see what is really life there in the field. Then I can know how to deal with them. When they will come with their prayer, now when they come with their request, I will know what it is to be hunger. I will know what it is to be without a place to put his head. When you will say, God, I don't have a house. I don't have a place to lay my head. But God, when he came here as a human, when he came here in the flesh, he has no place to put his head. And he could feel how bad it is when you are making your prayer that I have no place to put my head. God will understand it better. The prophet said, that king, it was the type of the Lord Jesus Christ coming down to the lower level, to your level and my level, that he can understand how to be tired. He can understand now when someone is in temptation. He can understand how someone is in need. When someone is now fast for 40 years, 40 days and 40 nights, and come day hunger, and someone is telling the devil, says now, but you can stone this stone to bread. You see, now he want to understand these things, that when you make your prayer request, that Father, I'm dying without food. I have a problem now. He will understand exactly what you're speaking about it. He will understand exactly what you are going through. Your suffering, your problem, and my problem. He lived in this body that you and I lived. And he know about the temptation around. Though he never sinned, but he know what the temptation is. Because he was tempted many times by the devil. On many occasions. And he was tempted. And he know he met the lady at the well of Jacob. The lady that we know that she was of a good life. And each time during the day, around 12 o'clock, she used to come to the well of Jacob and find someone that she can do bad thing with. But at that time, the lady met with the Lord Jesus Christ, the person of eternal life. The lady met with her. And maybe the lady manifested certain behavior of her. But now the Lord knows when you go through temptation, you know, I can understand exactly what my son Vegas is going through. Because he's been here in the flesh. And he knows everything that you and I are going through. But he made a way. Why did he have to come to that condition? Because the scripture tells us that let's read Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And to understand how God come humble himself in that condition. That he become very low than the angel. What cause? He's the creator of the angel. But he made those things for you and I. That he can give you life. That you can have life.
and I can have life. Now, in Philippians chapter 2, from verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of the servant, and was made in likeness of man, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why for? It's to save you and I. Everything that he did, he humbled himself. It's for your sake and for my sake. He humbled himself is to bring you to life. The purpose of it is to quicken you and to quicken me. That's the purpose of him. That he was so humble. He has no reputation. Because the scripture, if you open Isaiah 53, it's perfectly the way the scripture says in Isaiah 53. He made himself of no reputation. He has nothing in him that you and I could admire him. Why did he do it? He has no sin. He didn't know anything wrong. It was because of you and I that he can bring us to life. That everything in your life and my life should become new. That we should have a change. That we should have a new birth. That's the purpose of him coming. Isaiah 53, verse 3. He is despised and rejected of man, man of sorrow, and acquainted with grief, and we have hid, as it were, our face from him. He was despised, and we esteem him not. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow, yet we did esteem him strike, smite of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression, and he was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripe we are healed. Now everything that he did there, wounded and bruised, not for himself, it's for you and I. Now that is the mercy of God. That's God that is rich in mercy. That way I can see God manifesting his life to save you and I. That we were far separated from God, far away. That we could not have access. But God provided a way that you and I could change. The change in your life and in my life is not because of you, Father. It's not because of you, Uncle. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the change that has come to our life is not because of the prophet. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because of the man of Calvary that bring a change to our life. And if it wasn't because of Jesus Christ, you and I could not be here. He's the one who brought us out of slavery condition. He's the one who changed our life. That's the reason we love him. Because he gave his life for us. He gave his eternal life. Because the gift of God is the eternal life. But you must make sure that in your life, as the scripture says that everything must become new. Now, everything must become new. If he really manifests inside of your life, if he really quickens you, things have to change. You can't be the same. You can't remain in slavery condition and claim that he made you free. No. If he made you free, you have to come out of slavery condition. If he made you free, the things of the old must pass and everything must become new. That's why you know that he made you free. When your life is not the same that it used to be 2 years ago. When you know that your life is not what it used to be last week. When you know that there's a change inside of your life. When you know that I used to go to the nightclub, but when he made me free from that slave of sin, I'm not going there anymore. Because that's the purpose of it. The blood has enough power to break all the yoke of the enemy. But you must accept it. The grace is grace when you accept it as a grace. But if you are not accepted, it can't do anything good to you. The prophet gave an example
of someone in the time of Abraham Lincoln. We know the story. That the person was condemned to death. The death penalty was upon the person. And his brother or his man meets Abraham Lincoln somewhere. And when he meets with him, he said, my son or my brother is condemned now. They're going to kill him today. But Abraham Lincoln says, what can I do? I said, if you can write something, you can write his pardon, I will bring to the prison. My brother will be free. He will be made free from there. And the prophet said, it was out there. It wasn't in the office. Maybe he get a cement paper and write there, me, Abraham Lincoln, I made this pardon. I made this person free. Take the letter and bring it to your brother or to your son in the prison, whoever he was. And bring it now to you, your brother there. And tell him, give him and give to the man that is in charge of it. And show him that there's a pardon written here. And the person went quick. He said, now, my brother is saved now. The death penalty is over now. Because there is something here that is the signature of Abraham Lincoln himself now. I'm bringing it to the prison. He was running, zealous, excited that now everything is finished with my family member. Now we got our brother back home. There will be joy in the house. And he went and brought the letter there. And the man says, ah, which kind of letter this? It has no beauty. Abraham Lincoln can write here. He say, yes, give to the person that condemn you. Give to the person that say you're going to die. Give him this paper. And the man, he says, no, this is nothing from Abraham Lincoln. And he come and read the paper. And after reading the paper, the person died. And the prophet explained how grace is grace when you take it as a grace. Because the grace can be given unto you. But if you minimize it, it will not save you at all. Now, the life of God can be given unto you, but you must accept it as the life of God. Now, you must take this Bible beyond just the printing in a paper. No. You must get it, must take it as the eternal life. The spoken word, you must get it just beyond the spoken word. You must get it that this eternal life printed in papers. If you get it that way, and you are serious enough, you death penalty, it's over. You will not die. But you see sometime, how do we undermine? How do we get the things without any esteem? And God's already written the pardon. But what happened? We take it to say, ah, this is just a man speaking. This is just someone that wrote the story. No, this is the pardon for you and I. Because it says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. If you are in Christ, there's no condemnation. You must accept it. And everything now has to become new. Because he said now the things has changed. Let me read this one before we enter to a time of prayer. In verse 3 of the second chapter of Ephesians. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh. You see here the scripture says, in time past. When you become in Christ now, things must change. It can't be the same. Paul speaking here of someone that was quickened. And the prophet said the word quickened means made alive. Someone that was made alive. Someone that was made free from the slavery of sin. Someone that was made free now. Now the things of the past, it become something dead to him. There has no power anymore. But if the things of this life still have a power inside of your life, now is the best time for you to go to prayer. Now take advantage of this moment. That these things here is not applying to me. The scripture here that Paul is speaking. If you still love the world and the things of the world, the scripture is not applying to you. The scripture here is applying to someone that has already experienced a change. It's applied to someone that has already a new birth. But it's still time for you. Grace is still there. The mercy seat is still there for you. That you can plead with him. You can call upon his name. He said, change my life. Change the desire of my heart. Let me walk according to thy word. Let me be what you want me to be. Because the desire of God, the desire is that you should get your adoption. That I should get to my adoption. That the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ dying, that we should have a change of life. That we should live in a new life. In a new life. That we should live a life that was different when we used to be in the world. But if there's no difference between yesterday and today, is the time that you must call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's no difference, you're still the same person. No, something must happen. Because Paul, he is speaking about these things become a history. He's not speaking these things that they are in the present. He's speaking them in the past. That someone has already made alive. That someone has already experienced a new birth. Because there's enough resource in the Bible. There's enough resource in the message of the hour to bring you to the new life. Because the word of God, as the Hebrew says, is like a two-edged sword. It divides everything from the world. The things of the world, it cut it completely. It separates you from the things of the world. It separates you from everything that is contrary to the word of God. And Paul explained here the things. I like this scripture very well because Paul, he is speaking of someone that is born again. That in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and the mind. And we were by nature the children of wrath, even as Adam. We were is in the past. But as we come now in the Lord Jesus Christ now, everything becomes new. These things can't be applicable to someone that never have the new birth. Because the things already passed. We were speaking about history. Our life used to be rejoicing in the pub. But now we rejoice in the church. Our joy before was in drinking. But our joy now become reading the message of the hour. Listening the message of the hour. Our joy was before to do evil things. But our joy now, our heart are satisfied now when we read the message. Our heart are satisfied now. Not stealing. Not telling a liar. Not making false witness. No. Our joy now are in the things of God. That's what Paul is speaking here. It's different now between the life of a Christian and the life of an unbeliever. It has to be a different. It can't be the same. Things that used to be for you, something again, that used to be for you, you count it as lost, as Paul says. He explained these things here very well. He said, these things, it become different. And he says, something that happened, who did it to your life and to my life? And he showed us who did it. He said, God, who is rich in mercy. Even now, God is still rich in mercy. God is still rich in mercy. If you call upon his name now, everything will change. Because that is the desire of God. For God calling you, for you to be able to hear the word of God, God is desire, is that you should change completely. For God giving his life, not to make you a half Christian. The prophet said God can't make someone a half Christian. No, he can't make you a half Christian, no. God will make you a full Christian. If you half Christian, you can call upon the name of the Lord now. As the bride is coming, lead us in the song, then we call upon the name of the Lord. That if these things are not a new life to you, if you are not born again, you can pray for the new birth now. And you will leave this place a completely changed person. You will never be the same. And the wrong desire, the love of this world, will be taken away from thee. Let's now sing. And then we enter to a time of prayer.
Yeah, yeah.
To our prayer request. If anybody has any prayer request before we could sing the song, then we pray for the request. Just I would like to sense to pray for Brother Bishop Carr, because it's taking long. It looks like it's a bit of a problem to find exactly what the cause is. And we know that the Lord can make everything easy, that we'll be able to communion with our brother on a Saturday. Amen.
want the saints to help me in prayer. I've applied for my student grant. I called them this afternoon, and I realized that I'm just on the borderline. I might not be given or be given. Mm. So the saints will just remind me in prayer that the Lord shall be graceful unto me, and I'll be approved for the student loan.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
If there's any, just bear in mind, just consecrate it to our life, because we have a communion service this week. Let's start it and examine our life and put everything under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because God is rich in mercy and he's able to, when we call upon his name, he can pardon our sin, our short money, and accept that to be able to come in his table. That's the purpose of it. For us as a Christian, we should not miss the table of the Lord. And we have to make sure that everything is under the blood. But through our prayer, we can make everything under the blood. Let's sing the song. Then we'll ask God of Lord to close with a word of prayer after we pray for the request.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah is an answer we call. Oh, hallelujah is an answer we call. Oh, when I pray in Jesus' name and by faith, Hallelujah, he's an answering God.
I love you, Lord.
Hallelujah, he's an answering God. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. When I pray, and by faith, the answer came. Hallelujah, it's an answering God. Oh, hallelujah, it's an answering God. Oh, hallelujah, it's an answering God. And by faith, the answer came. Hallelujah, it's an answering God.
Oh,
hallelujah, it's an answering God.
He answers all my needs.
Hallelujah, it's an answering God. I pray in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah, it's an answering God.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, it's an answering God.
Oh,
hallelujah, it's an answering God. When I pray in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah, it's an answering God.
At the end of this service, O Lord, like song says, create in me, O clear heart, clean. we want to just put all foolishness, O Lord, aside. Like prophet was preaching one's message, door in door, O Lord. We remember those things. Sometimes we do that, we just let you go inside a little bit more, O Lord. But there are a lot of doors, O Lord. We want to open all doors for you, O Lord. O Lord, that you can hear our prayers, O Lord. Because Bible says that Elijah was man like we are, O Lord. Sometimes we are looking so negative things, O Lord. But we want to just put ourselves in front of you, Lord, on your altar. May your blood all cleanse us from everything, O Lord. While we are praying, O Lord, for all things, O Lord, for our families, for petition, for needs, O Lord. We are looking like Jonah. He was turning himself towards to the temple of Lord in Jerusalem, because he knew that fire came and consumed what was there, O Lord, on altar. And you promised that whoever will turn face to that temple in Jerusalem, you will hear him, O Lord. We are looking, O Lord, towards that altar in heaven where is your blood, O Lord Jesus, because your promise that you will hear our prayer, O Lord. Oh, we are so thankful for everything. Just help us, O Lord, to not take slightly those things, O Lord, when you are coming to us and talking to us. Many times we are coming to service, O Lord. We are thinking, oh, how is hard to come, whatever, O Lord. Now, again, Brother Francois is coming to preach. O Lord, just help us to move aside from way, O Lord, that you can speak to us, O Lord, that your word can change us, O Lord, that we can go, O Lord, with joy into your house, like word of God says. Oh, I was glad when they told to me, come into house of the Lord. O Lord, we are so thankful for many things. When we remember Brother Brian was praying, just putting hands on that horse, O Lord, and you healed him, O Lord. Yes. We want to put our hands of faith, O Lord, on our petition, on needs, whatever is, O Lord, on our families, O Lord, that you will touch, O Lord, and help us like congregation when it didn't come, O Lord, you know reason, O Lord, that you can convince them that, O Lord, we have to take your words really with all hearts, O Lord. Not just slightly, O Lord, that we can serve you, O Lord, with all our hearts, O Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, we are so thankful for your spirit, that you are moving, O Lord. Amen. Just help, sweep our souls, O Lord. We just want to bring everything into your hands, like word of God says, cast your burden unto Jesus, O Lord. We want to do now all things just put into your hands, O Lord, that you can sort those things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, bro. Let's sing the chorus and then we dismiss in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We meet at 6 o'clock Saturday for the communion service.
Jesus ever shining, brother. Jesus.
Jesus. Deus há no peito. Há no peito.
No pain.